You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
The Medic Shack. Join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, here we are. Let's try it again. It's Tuesday night. It's the 12th of August, and hopefully we'll have a little better luck than we did last night. Man, we had some sound problems last night and wound up having to abandon ship there before we got started. So we're going to touch on a few of those things again that we tried to do last night and get everybody up to speed here. And I hope everybody had a good weekend, since I didn't get to talk to you about your weekend yesterday. I had a good weekend. I was up at Schatz Ranch most of the weekend. We were conducting some training up there and having a good time. Had quite a few people up there for the things that we were doing. They had a survival, 3-day survival class going. And I had a bunch of guys up there, and we were doing quite a bit of different firearm stuff, shotgun, rifle, handgun, and some low-light type training out in the woods. And we just had a blast. And then I came back. So, with all that being said, I want to remind everybody, anybody that's of a notion, this is your last chance to sign up for the hunting rifle class coming up this coming weekend on 16th and 17th, I believe it is. Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. This is a pretty neat class. We go through a lot of things that, you know, a lot of classes don't cover. We spend a lot of time on, quite a bit of classroom time on this one, because it has nothing to do with defense. It has nothing to do with, you can't take somebody in a weekend and make an expert marksman out of them. That's not the idea of the class. It's a hunting rifle class. And along with that is some hunting, tips and hints and calibers and everything about shot placement and all that kind of thing. So we're planning on doing a whole bunch of stuff. Let's see. Matter of fact, that reminds me. Let me go over here real quick. And I've got one thing I need to do here. There we go. Got that all taken care of. Oh, by the way, we have a tremendous need for supplies and funds down on the Texas border. And I'm sure that there are some people in the Arizona border and maybe even New Mexico that can use a little bit of help. The some of the things that they need are wet wipes, bug spray, radios, batteries, and just funds, because we've got a four-wheeler down there that the cactus and the rocks and everything have eat the tires off of it, so the guys are not able to do their full patrols, or having to do a lot more of it on foot. Gas money, you know, non-perishable food, any of that kind of stuff can be sent down there. And if you want to just, matter of fact, if you'll give me just a second here, I will go and get you an email address that you can donate some funds through PayPal. It'll take me just a minute to go and get that here. But anything will help. If you can send $5, send $5. That's, let's see, there, I think it is. I'm going to dive in here real quick and grab you an email address for those of you that might want to send a couple of dollars to through PayPal to help these folks. I'll find it here in just a minute. I may have to find it during the break, actually. I'm going down through all of this stuff and I thought I knew right where it was, but evidently I was mistaken. That's the second time this year. Okay. All right, well, I'll find it in a little bit. I'll find it during the break, and I'll put it out there for you for those of you that want to help. I'll have a... if anybody wants to send a box down there, I'll have an address for you. Probably I may have it before the end of the show. If not, I will have it tomorrow for you. If you just want to pack up some stuff, you got some folks there in your local area, maybe you could get a few people together and get some things together for them. Send them. You can send socks down there. Socks is always a good thing to send. T-shirts, maybe. And some of the things that you hear about, well, what the mainstream media tells you about what's going on in Texas largely is not true. It is either a blatant, outright lie, or it is grossly exaggerated to a point that the truth has been lost in the translation there somewhere. But the couple of problem children down there that were trying to run things, they have been relieved of duty and chased away. And there's some good hands down there now taking care of things, some very dedicated and devoted people that are running the show. And I would encourage any of you, all of you, as I've said recently, we're just one trigger pull away from World War III here. And I know that it's, some of us just absolutely can't possibly under any circumstances make it down there to do that. But on the other hand, there are people on fixed incomes, have money coming in or money put away, and have their life in order in such a way that they could come go down there and make a difference. As a matter of fact, there is a convoy from Idaho on their way down there as we speak. And they'll be going through. They've named all the towns that they're going to be going through, and they're going to stop and pick up supplies from people as they go through. So there's, you know, if you, it's hard to drop everything. At this point in time, I've always, for the last 15 years, I have dropped everything and been able to go on these things no matter what. And I've done it time and time again. But right now, it's just not in the cards. There's just no way I can do it. So what I can do to help here is help with training with people. I can help with sending supplies and funds down there that would ordinarily go to other things here. And we'll just have to do the best we can. There's several people around here that's in the same boat. So now the other side of that coin is that the Arizona border is only 5 hours from here. So we might be able to go down there and do a little bit of good. As a matter of fact, we've been down on the Arizona border a couple of times with another group. And hey, Mountain Redneck managed to make it in here tonight. Good job. Let me see who all's in there. I saw Queso in there. And Concretin and Tinker and Doc and Hopper. Iowa Cat. Mars, good to see you. Missed you this weekend. Minnie, M. Jantz, thank you, by the way. Mountain Redneck, Mountain Shooter, Northwest Heavy, Rights at Risk, and 1, 2, 3, 4, well, 3 now, one just going out, Anonymous there. So, good deal, let's see. The, yeah, Queso is down a little closer to what's going on down there, and there were some people that, while on the outside may have had a, you know, good intentions and wanted to go down there and do something, they're not leaders. And I have always said, one of the things that I've talked about during the many militia discussions that we've had on the shooting bench, what I've said so many times is that just because someone has the heart, just because someone has a tremendous amount of military training, whatever the case may be, doesn't necessarily make them leaders. Some people are just not leaders. That's not a bad thing. It's just not in the cards for them. There are some people that have tremendous experience that they can share, but they're just not trainers. They're just not good at passing on the information. They can do it and do it well, but they just can't teach it. And the same with leaders. There are some people out there that are fearless and have a lot of heart and wanting to do it, but they're just not leaders. They are either followers or they are kind of on their own, you know. And that's right. Hopper says some of them engines, some of them's chiefs. And we find out a lot of times in the militia that we have way too many chiefs and not enough Indians. So anyway, that's a little report from down there, and I hope that you guys will, some of you, if you're able to, will either help send some stuff down there, support the people that are there already. Now, some of those people are been down there quite a while. As a matter of fact, one of the teams is being just about cut in half right now, and some of them are headed home, and they've just got too large of an area to cover for the amount of people that they have left. So I would certainly encourage you, if you possibly can swing it, to go down there and spend a, you know, do a tour down there on the border. You'll meet a lot of good folks. You'll have some fun. You'll get some experience, get some good training experience. And I think that you would certainly not regret it. I think you'd enjoy it. Okay, well, let's move on here. We got a lot of stuff to. There's hang on, here we go. Several things. I'm going to try to get as many of these done as I can. We missed Thursday night, and we got our music in Friday night, thank goodness, and then we missed last night. So, and, oh, by the way, for those of you that haven't been keeping up here lately, need to remember that Amy, at least for the time being, is no longer on in the morning. She's going to be on during the second segment of my show. She's not right now. She's still tonight. She's still feeling a little under the weather. So I feel confident that she'll be back tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to try to get her on my show because she's got a job that she really enjoys and requires her being there early in the morning, and there's just no way that she can do her show in the morning. So I apologize for that, and I know a lot of you have expressed, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, it's working out for some folks later in the evening that they're not able to listen to her in the morning, and I'm sorry for those that are missing her in the morning. But anyway. Okay, I've got, I would save this ordinarily for Thursday night, but this is big news right here in the gun world. Big, bad news. It seems that there's a federal judge here in Maryland, and if this goes through, this has set a very, very bad precedent for us. This looks like a very terrible thing. But for Maryland gun owners, a federal judge has essentially said that the guns that were regulated by the state of Maryland last year, including AR-15s and AK-47s and things like them, as well as several other magazine-fed semi-automatic rifles with all the little whatever cosmetic features that they deemed were unsatisfactory. They're saying that these guns fall outside of the scope of protection from the Second Amendment. Says that they are dangerous and unusual arms. There's a 47-page opinion paper that they wrote out. The female judge, by the way, Catherine Blake. And in this case, there was a number of plaintiffs named here, including the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore, the Maryland Licensed Firearms Dealers Association, Maryland State Rifle and Pistol Association, and the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and some other smaller ones on top of that. But they're challenging the constitutionality of this law. So what they've done is stirred up a judge here that would look at it and say, you know what? I don't believe that the Constitution has anything to do with this, because these guns are kind of dangerous and unusual, so the Constitution doesn't apply. Now, here's what some of the comments from the judge here. It says, upon review of the party's evidence, the court seriously doubts that the banned assault long guns are commonly possessed for lawful purposes, particularly self-defense in the home, which is at the core of the Second Amendment right, and is inclined to find the weapons fall outside Second Amendment protection as dangerous and unusual. First, the court is not persuaded that assault weapons were commonly possessed based on the absolute number of those weapons owned by the public. Even accepting that, there are 8.2 million assault weapons in the civilian gun stock. As the plaintiffs claim, assault weapons represent no more than 3% of the current civilian gun stock, and ownership of those weapons is highly concentrated in less than 1% of the U.S. population. The court is also not persuaded by the plaintiffs' claims that assault weapons are used infrequently in mass shootings and murders of law enforcement officers. The available statistics indicate that assault weapons are used disproportionately to their ownership in the general public, and furthermore cause more injuries and more fatalities when they are used. As for their claims that assault weapons are well suited for self-defense, the plaintiffs proffer no evidence beyond their desire to possess assault weapons. Hang on here. As for their claims that assault weapons are well suited for self-defense, the plaintiffs proffer no evidence beyond their desire to possess assault weapons for self-defense in the home that they are in fact commonly used or possessed for that purpose. Finally, despite the plaintiffs' claims that they would like to use assault weapons for defensive purposes, assault weapons are military-style weapons designed for offensive use and are equally or possibly even more effective in functioning and killing capacity as their fully automatic versions. So, there's a stupid ruling for you. And I'm afraid that this may be a big deal for all of us here soon. It's kind of scary. So, let's see. Let me go and look at some of the comments in the chat room here. Why in the heck is all my stuff so little here? Let me fix that. It's not being fixed. Okay, well, I'll just live with it being little then. Okay. All right. I don't really have anything else to say about that. We're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out and see what happens with the rest of the country here. Now then, there's also a gun related. We always got a safety thing we can throw in here. And here is, from the great state of Texas, a firearms instructor that accidentally shot himself in the hand during a shooting lesson. Alrighty then. He was in Hewitt, Texas. Expected to miss at least 2 months of work while recovering from surgery to repair the wound to his left hand sustained by his 9mm pistol. Said the incident, which occurred last month, happened when he, 11-year veteran of the force, was teaching his family to shoot a pistol and how to clear the chamber of a semi-automatic. He was shot in the hand during the demonstration. He's been the firearms instructor
Hunters
for the
of deer, turkey, and other animals in Florida may soon be able to operate with lethal stealth under a state proposal to allow them to use silencers.
They're actually called quiet. Suppressors. Go away. Said he's been a firearms instructor of the police for at least the last 5 years. Said he would review the outcome. So, people ask all the time about the way we teach people.
And a new rule.
What in the world is, are, is all this noise coming from?
Is at a 40-year low. Someone has to
hang on a minute.
Why your local police department has gone from this to this.
I was going to play this later, but we need to wait. There we go, for right now. I don't know why all these things started playing here all of a sudden. So anyway, we teach the people, ask us why we teach people all the time how to, a little bit different way to clear your chamber. And I'll tell you, I can probably explain this pretty well, and a lot of you probably do it. It's very common. And it's very wrong. A lot of people will take and clear the chamber by taking their support hand and putting basically the palm of their hand kind of right over the muzzle and using their thumb and two or three fingers on the support side there to push the slide back, either do a chamber check or to load or unload the weapon. And if at any time, for any amount of time, for any reason that you need to have your hand in front of that muzzle, whatever you're doing it wrong. Because there is never, ever, ever a time when it is acceptable to have your hand in front of that muzzle. There are so many people that do that very thing, and add that along with having their finger on the trigger when they're not supposed to, and they have their booger hook on the loud button there, as we call it. So, you know, you can you might could get away with that possibly if you don't have your hand in front of the muzzle. But anyway, that's one of the things that we watched this weekend. We, you know, called down quite a number of people, number of times, to stop. Oh, Northwest Heavy, how was that? When Northwest Heavy said the West broke me that, and he didn't even realize. Oh, I see. You didn't even realize you were doing it. Gotcha. Well, Hopper, you know, there's a whole lot of things that that seem like no-brainer to those of us that shoot a lot, but, you know, sometimes people just have to be reminded. They don't realize that they're doing it. And like we say, they just don't know what they don't know. And until somebody brings it to their attention, and you say, oh, wow, I had no idea I was doing that. And, you know, usually they can stop it right away. But there's so many things that seem to me like what I would consider a no-brainer. But I'm sure people think the same of me when we're talking about, you know, my ability to do things with computers or, you know, certain things that I don't have anything to do with, that I've never practiced, never tried, never cared about. I try to get into it, and people look and say, wow, you think that would be a no-brainer. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't have any freaking idea what you're talking about, so now that you've pointed it out to me, thank you very much. So, but I have seen literally thousands of people put their hand or leg in front of the muzzle, something like that, or point the muzzle at somebody else, not realizing that they're doing it. And it does require a little bit of extra attention with some folks, particularly the older men, you know, 55, 60 and up. Sometimes it requires a little bit of extra attention with them to get that resolved and make it safe. So, I think that with all that being said there, I think that it's about time for us to take a quick break. Let me move a couple of things down in here. There we go. So, give me about 5 minutes or so here, and
I'll be back.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in running command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Here we go now.
All you rednecks out there, stand up and salute while we play the Redneck National Anthem.
Redneck, don't give a darn, a redneck. Raised on a farm, I'm a redneck. I'm a six-pack king, I'm a redneck. Just be doing my thing, a redneck.
It's a redneck country cowboy state of mind.
Sounds like it sucks. He can't even bait a hook. He can't even skin a buck. Jack Daniels is.
to the Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more. Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay. We're back. And I wanted to let you listen to a thing last night, and it didn't turn out so good. But, you know, I cannot stand Bill, what's his name, Maher, is that how you say it? He drives me insane. I cannot stand him. Detest the man. But he got this thing pretty close. There's a lot of good points he makes here, and I have to give credit where credit is due, sometimes as bad as I hate to, but I do, up until close to the end. Now, when it gets close to the end, we'll break in here and let you know what's going on. It's about 5 minutes long, and I want you to listen to what Bill Maher said. What he's talking about is the militarization of the police and the no-knock raids and all this kind of stuff. And of course, he kind of makes a joke about some of it, but I think the point is driven home very well. Now, he does get a little bit stupid towards the end, but here in the beginning, he's going to say what happened to our police force went from this to this, and originally it was from this, meaning Andy of Mayberry, Andy and Barney standing there, to this nowadays, and it is a SWAT team with all their military gear and all of that stuff on. So anyway, pay attention here and listen to Bill Maher. It's probably the only time I'll ever make you do this.
Violent crime is at a 40-year low. Someone has to explain why your local police department has gone from this.
Andy and Mayberry. Okay, I think we'll give this a minute here and let it buffer, and maybe it'll keep up. We had hell trying to do this last night too. So I mean, coming from Bill Maher, this really surprised me, and he's not going to say too much different than what you and I believe here, but I'd still like for you to hear it from him. I was a little surprised. I figured he would try to justify them going out there and take up for him and say, hey, well, this is what we have to do with the criminal element being what it is today, and we think our government is better served by having all this, or all police are better served by having all this military gear. But no, he is quite the opposite. So let's see how much luck we have here listening to this again.
Besides a refreshing lack of hipsters. Is that they, and big cities too, have been gifted by the Pentagon with tons of government surplus war equipment, fresh from our glorious victories in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I understand it's a dangerous world out there, and threats have changed. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as Shia LaBeouf. But we don't need to fill our streets with any more horrifying death machines when we've already got GM. The military should dispose of these things the way they always did in the past, by selling them to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because cops are only human, and we all know what it's like when you get a new toy. You want to use it. I bought a glue gun once, and by the end of the weekend, my dog's face was stuck to the toilet grill. But in West Springfield, Massachusetts, the police department's new toy is two grenade launchers. Why? In case Boko Haram takes Connecticut? It's hard enough keeping the George Zimmermans out of the police academy without having bazookas in the brochure. Once you start dressing and equipping people like an occupying army, they start acting like one. Every day there's another story in the paper about cops beating innocent people. The video that's been making the rounds out here lately is a patrolman punching the lights out of a deranged homeless grandmother. Even worse, that's their training video. I mean, this guy has been demoted to desk duty while officials conduct a review, but what's to review? He's punching an old lady in the face. Which is not to say most cops act like this. They don't. And if you're a police officer who happens to pull me over sometime in the near future, I'm especially not talking about you. Oh, no, you're fine. And handsome. And I rarely say that to a man. Thank you for your service. And let's just both agree that the strong smell coming from my car is a skunk I rescued on the road and brought into the vet a few days ago. Now, I have no illusions what life would be like without the police. It would be that movie, The Purge, every night. But unfortunately, it's not just the equipment the cops are borrowing from the army. It's also this philosophy of overwhelming force. You know, we used to send SWAT teams only for hostage or active shooter scenarios. It happened a few thousand times a year. Now it happens 1,000 times a week. Forced, no-knock entries into private homes, and now for almost any reason at all, like serving warrants, breaking up poker games, arresting low-level pot dealers. Come on. It's a guy who sells weed. You don't need to shoot his dog and crash through his window. Just grab him when he comes out for the ice cream truck. You know, police, we want to be on your side. But the words on your car, protect and serve, refer to us, not you. In the 90s, conservatives used to warn about jackbooted government thugs coming to take away our freedoms. But where are those conservatives today when we need them? This is the massive expansion of government power that you numbskulls in the Tea Party should be freaking out about. You're always screaming about the loss of liberty and how tyranny is coming. Yeah, it's coming right through the door with a battering ram, no warrant, and a stun grenade. Or to put it in a way you can understand, I'm scared of the cops and I'm white. That's our show. I'll be at Heinz Hall in Pittsburgh on July 26th.
All right, there you go. I think he was pretty accurate about that stuff. Thank you, Hopper. I'm glad you clarified that. His aviator, welcome into the chat room. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I think he covered it pretty well. The only part that I'd have any comments on really is the part where he said the Tea Party should be standing up and doing that now. Well, hell, all the conservatives are. I mean, the Tea Party, NRA, everybody. So I don't know where he's been. I don't know if he doesn't have access to a computer other than at work, or doesn't read the paper, or what. But we've been on this stuff hard and heavy for the last a couple of years now before it was probably even brought to his attention. You know that you've heard it here on the Shooting Bench a thousand times. I know you've heard it on John's show. You used to hear it on the Pathfinder quite a bit. I mean, it was everywhere, all the time. So I don't know what in the world he's talking about there, but anyway. But you got to consider the source. I mean, they have a little problem with telling the truth and giving us credit and stuff very much. Okay, let's... now that's gun stuff, so I'm gonna try to stay away from. Got some good gun things to save for you here for Thursday night. I'm gonna put a link in here for some of you. Hopefully it'll work for you guys that have been looking for affordable, good quality tactical pants, either for your militia uniform or just for work, you know, or whatever. LA Police Gear has come out with a new style, a little bit different than what we usually. I've bought a lot of LA Police Gear stuff, and they've all been pretty good stuff. I mean, obviously it's not as good as Woolrich or 511, but they're not $80 either. So, you know, you pay $17 for a pair of pants, $20 for a pair of pants, you get a $20 pair of pants. But for what they are, I think these are pretty good. I'm hopefully maybe one of these days we get caught up with some other stuff here. I'm going to get me some of these, but I'm going to drop this in the chat room. You guys can go check it out. Hopefully it will work for you. Try that and see where it takes you. I wish they had multicam. You can get 511 and multicam. Like I said, they're $80. But man, talk about rugged. Jeez, they are built to last. The multicam BDU pants or tactical pants that 511 has the cargo pockets on each side have. Magazine, rifle magazine holders, carriers, and they're pretty darn good. They're heavy duty. I hate wearing them in hot weather, and I'm hoping that if I get a chance to go down to the border, I'll be able to get some other ones, multicam stuff that's a little lighter and a little cooler. I'd hate like heck to go down the border with these 511 pants in that. But the regular 511 pants are not too bad. But these multicams are extra heavy duty. I mean, they're tough. Let's see. Let me back up here. Yeah, Doc, I really hate cargo. Well, the thing I like about these cargo pockets on these is if you put very much in there, you're right. I mean, to try to march, climb, drive, I mean, just anything. I'm not really a fan of cargo pockets except for short-term things when you got your hands full, you need to take, you know, through the, you know, a few magazines or a little ammo or a, you know, a bottle of water or something for short-term. They're pretty handy. But for long-term, for all day and hot weather and carrying a bunch of stuff in there, No thanks. I think I'll pass. But these multicam heavy duty tactical pants that 511 has cargo magazine pockets that are on the pants themselves. They're not part of the pocket. They're inside the pocket against the leg. So you can put a couple of rifle magazines in both sides, and it's really not that bad. They don't flop around like the rest of the stuff in the cargo pockets do. And I think that if you're, especially with AR magazines that are much lighter than the average AK magazine, although that's not exactly true now that we have the polymer mag. By the way, somebody gave me one of the SR bunch gave me a a Pro Mag. No, not Pro Mag. Magpul. A Magpul magazine for my AK for me to try out this weekend. And I deeply appreciate it. Great guys out there we had this weekend. I think they learned a lot, and we'll be doing this again in the pretty near future. And Mars, if you're still in the chat room, yes, you are. Maybe, hopefully, you'll be able to make it out there next time. It was a lot of fun. Okay, I never did find that cotton picking. Well, I didn't find it because I forgot to look during the last break. I want to find that email address for you. And matter of fact, I think I'm going to waste a little bit of your time and try to look for it while we're talking here, because this is very important, and I'd like for some of you, if you're able to, look at me, I did it. I am so awesome. Okay, here, this is the email address that you use for PayPal to send funds for the border effort. And this will go directly to the commander in charge down there. Doesn't go to some place that's going to forward it to him or somebody's wife or whatever. It goes right into his PayPal account that is being used. I know these guys, and I am very comfortable with sending money down there to him. So I'm going to keep the automatic harvesters from getting this. I'm going to change this around just a little bit and drop this email address in the chat room. Please take advantage of it and send some fun. $5 if you can do it. You don't have to have a PayPal account to do this. And you can put it on a card and send it via PayPal, and they'll have it, most Ricky Tech. So, okay, let me go and get this. I've got so many sources for crap here. Unbelievable. I guess you guys have seen the stories of the ISIS down there that are beheading kids and all that. There's been some discussion about how truthful some of those things are, but they seem to be backed up pretty well from a number of sources there. So even if it's not 100% true, I'm pretty convinced that there's that it's a large portion of it is. I just got a deal here on email just a while ago while we were looking at this. And let's see. Photo pasted Facebook shows an off-duty LAPD officer allegedly brandishing a pistol while driving on the eastbound 60 freeway east of Los Angeles. LAPD has confirmed that the woman in the photo holding the pistol is in fact an LAPD officer. They assure us that there is an internal affairs investigation now in progress. So, let's see. And it talks about other officers that have pulled guns. Thing is, you know, people don't look at these cops and military officers. Well, they're people. Under that uniform is a people. And people inherently have weaknesses and problems and whatnot. And they're not immune to the things that they try to keep us from doing. So they have emotions and problems and makes mistakes just like everybody else does, and bad judgment calls sometimes, just like this woman did. And apparently it's not her first time. Queso, that's interesting. I'll have to look into that. He says Max Velocity is looking into setting up a contract with the Kurdish government to help against ISIS. That's pretty cool. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. I'll see if I can get some information on that and share that with you. So let me go through my... How much time we got? Now we're just about break time, so maybe I'll save this till... later here. I've got so many things. I guess you guys have seen all the stuff going on in Missouri. This was in, what was it, Ferguson, Missouri, or somewhere like that? All the riots and everything. You know, I tell you what, there's a... thank you, Kay, so I'll check that out. I need to talk a little bit more about the show we've been watching. I've told you guys that Amy and I have really gotten into this Jericho series. And a number of things come up on there today that I want to share with you and think about what how some of that stuff is going to not might, but is absolutely going to affect some of us as we go about our business here after the poop hits fan here. So let's see. I'm going to put something a little more cheerful in here. Something to take a little bit of time for you. We're going to take us about a 5 or 6 minute break here, and then we'll be back. Carry on here.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Bomb, 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 I ran. Bomb, 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 I ran. Some rocks, tell the Ayatollah gonna put you in a box. Bomb, I ran, bomb, 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 I ran. The country's got a feeling, really is the ceiling. Bomb, I ran, bomb, 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 I ran. Old Uncle Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn, I ran into a parking lot. Bomb, I ran. Bombardiers, call the financiers, better get the rest of you. Bomb, I ran, bomb, 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 I ran. The country's got a feeling, really, it's the ceiling. Bomb, I ran, bomb, 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 I ran.
It's Luca! Woo!
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie,
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Could have been the whiskey. Could have been the three or four six packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my, oh, wasn't that a party? Someone took a grapefruit, wore it like a hat. I saw someone under my kitchen table talking to my old tom cat. They were talking about a hot game. The cat was talking back. Along about that, everything went right. I wasn't that hardy. I'm sure it's just my memory playing tricks on me. But I think I saw my buddy cutting down my neighbor's tree. Could have been the whiskey. Could have been a three or four, six packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my, oh, wasn't that a party? So you see, Your Honor, it was all in fun. That little bitty track meeting down on Main Street was just to see if the cops could run. Well, the runners in the see you in an alcoholic haze. I sure can use those 30 days to recover from the party. Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been the three or four, six packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my, wasn't that a party? Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been the three or four, six packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football.
It was over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, you caught me. I'm sorry. I'm chewing a carrot, trying to be all healthy and everything. Let's see. Before we get into this other story here, I see where Ranger had missed a little bit on the pants. We didn't talk too much about the pants. I just put a link up there on these L.A. police gear pants. But let's talk about pants for a minute. I may be a little too anal about some of this stuff, but since I've been involved in the militia and the patriot movement and all this stuff, I have looked at my clothing that I wear in a complete different light than I ever did before. And I do feel that some of it is considered gear instead of clothing. And my damn, it is pouring down rain out there again. So one of them, of course, is the 511 shirts. You've heard me talk about the 511 shirts many times. I can't imagine going from day to day without wearing a 511 shirt. I wear them every single day of my life. I have a white one that I wear to church. Every single day of my life, I wear a 511 shirt. And I have it set up in such a way that just like a holstered sidearm or any other type of habit that you get into like that. So let me tell you my personal opinion about pants. Now I've got the LA police gear pants, the ones with the two cell phone pockets or slit pockets, in the front. They're pretty good pants, and I wear them quite often, and they fill my needs pretty well. They're not quite as heavy duty and as durable as 511 or Woolrich, but like I said, they're $17.99, so I can buy five pair of them for what, or three pair of them for what one pair of the 511s costs. So that's a plus. Now I'll tell you what I don't like about 511s. They're rugged, they wear well, but there's two things I don't like on them, and that one of them is the fact that the belt loops are not in the right place, unless they've changed that. Unless I haven't worn 511 pants for a long time, for them, that's one of the two reasons. And what I had to do is I have to take my 511 pants into the seamstress girl and have her move those belt loops so that they fit, I can put my holster exactly where I want to. I'm not satisfied with putting it, pretty close over here or whatever. I want it exactly in the same place on every pair of pants that I have. So I have to have those changed a little bit. The other thing I don't like is that big stupid slash pocket in the back. I hate those. You put your wallet in there, and it sits down, rides down in the middle of your thigh, and it's just you go and sit on a when you're driving your truck or sit on something. It's just always in the damn way. So those two things right there would keep me from ever buying 511 pants again. I don't like them. I like the way they wear. I like the way they look, but I don't like that big pocket, and I don't like the belt loop situation. I can't imagine anybody liking those slash pockets in the rear. I mean, it just seems just retarded to me. But if you like those slash pockets, look at Woolrich. Woolrich are every bit as durable as 511. They look just the same at first glance. They have those slash pockets on them, which I never, ever use. But they also have a wallet pocket, a regular pocket like a pair of jeans that is inside the slash pocket. You put your wallet in there, it's out of the way, and it's just like wearing a pair of jeans. You still have the slash pockets there if you want to, drop a magazine or you got something you need to stick in there. They still work. They also have two of the little, I don't know what you call them, cell phone pockets, magazine pockets, whatever. They have two of them with covers, with flaps on the front of each thigh. Instead, no, I'm sorry, they're not on the front, they're on the sides, above the slash pockets. So you have, you'll be able to put, I put my Leatherman in one, my flashlight in the other, and they're out of the way. I like them much better than the slat, than the little pockets that they have on the LA police gear pants. And they're about the same price. They're probably, they may be $5, maybe even $10 cheaper. But they're awesome, absolutely wonderful pants. They have the same wearing characteristics as 5'11". But the belt loops are right, and the pockets are situated much, much better than 5'11s. So when I can find, right now they are hard to find. Queso, Woolrich has gone through. They've moved one of their plants, or they had something going on here in the last few months that has caused them to get behind on their production. So I don't know how that stands right this minute. But it's worth checking on. If all my pants could be, if I could find them, you know, the majority of my pants would be Woolrich. I still always wear jeans if I'm not, doing high speed, low drag Ninja Warrior stuff. But when I do, I really like Woolrich. I think that's now I'll tell you, I had a little problem with some of their personnel. Actually, it wasn't even there. It was a not a distributor, but a one of those folks that they say, okay, we have Woolrich, we have 5'11, we have this, we have that, we have all these different brands, and you contact us and we can fix you up. And one of the things they had was Woolrich. I didn't like him. I didn't like him a bit. The guy was rude. He didn't call me back when he was supposed to. He lied. He didn't lie to me, but he just didn't keep his word. So it turned me off quite a bit. But it was it's okay. It was. It's not worth boycotting. Oh, I'm getting a shoulder rub right now from a good-looking blonde. You guys just have no idea what this... Oh, man. Yeah, I'll be with you all in a minute. Stand by. Oh, boy, did we just take a break? Okay. Yes, ma'am, I'll be right in there. Now, what was I talking about? It certainly wasn't anything to boycott Woolrich over. It's just boycotting that one outfit. So very displeased with them. But anyway, all right, that's enough about pants. Let me go. Looks like we've got breaking news coming in here. Let me check on this and see what's going on. Okay, I can wait for that. Nothing serious. Okay, let me pick up my handy dandy crystal ball here. We got something else going on in Missouri. This is also a Thursday night thing, so maybe we'll talk about other things Thursday night. But we got that hunting rifle class coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. But in Missouri, Democrats are doing what Democrats do. And they've introduced a deal there that if it should pass, would give the owners of certain types of assault weapons 90 days to either turn them in, disable them, or ship them out of the state. Will this pass? Probably not this time. But it's planting seeds. It just shows that people are thinking about it. And they're getting closer and closer and closer to that C word, confiscation. Turn them in, Mr. and Mrs. America. And that is going to be it's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. They've got their own little cosmetic features here. Missouri does, as to what they figure is an assault weapon and what's not. But these Democrats in the state also want to confiscate pistols or rifles with fixed magazines that can hold more than 10 rounds. Said it prohibits anyone, including gun makers, from manufacturing, importing, possessing, purchasing, selling, or transferring any assault weapon or large capacity magazine. Law does not apply to law enforcement officers, members of the military, and federal agents and employees. Those already in possession of these weapons or magazines will have 90 days to remove the assault weapon or large capacity magazine from the state of Missouri, render the assault weapon permanently inoperable, or surrender the assault weapon or large capacity magazine to the appropriate law enforcement agency for destruction. Yeah, that's going to happen. Oh, Lord. If this proposal becomes law, those who violate it will be charged with a Class C felony, punishable to up to 7 years in prison. It's a Mountain Shooter. I don't know if there's any manufacturers in Missouri, any ones that manufacture that kind of stuff anyway. I think you're absolutely right. The line's definitely being drawn here. It says the bill has been introduced and read twice. It's a go-nowhere bill, but designed, I think, to test the waters, as we've seen numerous bills. And that's exactly what I was talking about right there. That it may show up in other states here before too long. Let me get rid of that. And there was a guy on a Patriot-related forum here today that was looking for a Glock 27. And let me tell you how he described this. And I won't do anything that would give him away, let anybody know who he is or where he's at. But stand by here a minute. This thing's loading. Okay. It says, I'm looking for a Glock 27. Subcompact, third gen, 40 caliber, looking for one in this price range. He said it must come with two spare 12-round magazines. Got plenty of ammo, looking for a carry gun to replace the High Point that he sold to finance his... anyway, it said, now this is the part where he starts getting himself in trouble. He said, friends can message me if they have one. Serial number must be clean. No bodies, I don't know what that means. And I don't do paperwork. Traveling, so I can come to you, but I'd prefer one in this state that he lives in. So I said, you know, there's a couple things here. One, if you're suggesting what it sounds like, you're conspiring on an open internet forum to commit a federal felony if you purchase a firearm outside of your home state without going through a dealer. And number two, there is no such thing as a 12-round magazine for a Glock 27. Stock magazines hold 9 rounds. You can get 2 round extensions to make them 11, or you can use a 13 round Glock 23 magazine or a 15 round Glock 22. But at any rate, I said, I told him that, and he said, well, thanks for the correction, and just an FYI, he said, an in-person purchase from a private party is legal in most states. The feds have no jurisdiction unless the sale is conducted between persons in different states, and the firearm will need to be shipped across state lines in interstate commerce. However, when the sale is made face-to-face between two private parties, then there is no restriction in most states, and the feds have no jurisdiction unless the sale is conducted across state lines or between a dealer and a private party. So let me, this comes up quite often. It's the only reason I'm sharing this with you, because all the time somebody said, well, I'll buy this gun, I'll take it down, I'm going to take it back home, give it to my dad, or whatever. No, yes, you can, and maybe get away with it because they don't find out, but it is nevertheless a felony. Thou shalt not do this. Let me tell you what the ATF says about this. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't know where you get your information from, but you might ought to double check the law. I said, any transfer of a firearm across state lines must be done through a dealer. You can transfer a firearm to an individual in your state of residence as long as the state law allows it. And then I posted the relevant sections out of the ATF book here, and one of them says, to whom may an unlicensed person transfer firearms under the Gun Control Act? It says a person may sell a firearm to an unlicensed resident of his state if he does not know or have reasonable cause to believe that the person is prohibited from receiving or possessing firearms. A person may loan or rent a firearm to a resident of any state for temporary use if he does not know or have reasonable cause to believe that the person is prohibited from having one. A person may sell or transfer a firearm to a licensee in any state. However, a firearm other than a curio or relic may not be transferred interstate to a licensed collector. The next one is, who may an unlicensed person acquire a firearm under the GCA? You know, I'd be better off if I just tell you this without reading it, but I want you to know exactly what the law says. The regulation says, a person may only acquire a firearm within the person's own state, except that he or she may purchase or otherwise acquire a rifle or shotgun in person at a licensee's premises in any state. What that means, you can go buy a rifle or shotgun according to federal law in any state, although that there are some state laws that prohibit that. A person may borrow or rent a firearm in any state for temporary use for lawful. He comes back and said, well, I would suggest that you read the actual statute involved as well as the 10th Amendment. If the weapon does not travel in interstate commerce, the feds have absolutely no jurisdiction over the sale between two private individuals. The ATF tries to make their own laws with the language used in their info sheets, but they have no such authority. Read the statutes, not the BS that they publish. And I said, what they publish is what they use to prosecute you, right, wrong, or indifferent, legal or not. That's what they use. I've seen this happen. You guys remember we followed the Rick and Terry Reese fiasco for a long time. And they use what they wrote. To them, it is law. I mean, this guy says, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I've seen this happen. I said, and then I said, do as you please. I'm not going to argue with you all day. He said, thank you. I will observe the law, not some bureaucratic agency's attempt to circumvent those statutes with their own rules. Well, that's fine. I mean, I applaud your perseverance, tenacity, I guess, to hold on there and try to do things by what the. But fact is, it's not going to work. I guess it means that you have, you know, $30,000 extra dollars laying around so that you can fight this. Because, and you may be right. You sure might. But that doesn't change the fact that they're going to go by what they wrote. Mountain Shooter, you're absolutely right. Go ahead, try it, see who wins. I think that we won't see this guy on this forum very often or very, very much longer if he continues to pursue this. It's kind of like this is exactly the same thing as when I tell people, yeah, I know, the Second Amendment is your concealed carry permit. I get that. Right up until they catch you. I mean, these idiots keep saying, okay, I carry my gun anywhere, anytime, anywhere I want to. The Second Amendment is my concealed carry permit. Yes, I get it. Right up until you get caught with it. So what have you accomplished now? You didn't want to get a carry permit because you can very much carry one, you know, maybe for years and years and never get caught. As long as you don't get caught, I guess that makes it legal. You say, well, I'm gonna carry my gun when my wife and kids with me. I'm carrying it no matter what. Good for you. Hooray for your side. So if you get caught or if you have to use it, where are you then? Who's going to protect your wife and kid while you're in prison then? Yeah, the milkman will take care of her for you. Maybe the thing to do would be to one of two things. Go ahead and get your permit and do it legally. Or don't ever go to those places where you can't legally carry without a permit. Which is what I do a lot of times. But I got to look at my Arizona permit too, by the way, and see how much more time I got. What I don't have is much more time here before the next break. So I think what we'll do is we'll put this right down here and move that out. And then I think we'll take our break. Last one of the day.
I'll be back.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to fight it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct pablum every time you turn the radio on, join Cope Reynolds for The Shooting Bench here on the Just Measures Radio Network for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
The folks thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie. For you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
The lights and the fiber,
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop. Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. Let's finish this up. Got a little story here from right over there in, let me see if he's still in the chat room. No, he left. Let's see. Well, it's a shame he's not here. We're going to talk about it anyway. And that would be Mountain Redneck that was here with us a while ago. It's over in his neck of the woods. Over not too far out of Payson, Arizona. We have a sheriff's deputy here that has been fired, not just laid off without, you know, suspended without pay or usually with pay or whatever. He's actually been fired. Sean Osborne appealed it, but Gila County Board upheld it. And what started as one internal investigation actually turned into five of them as they started uncovering more and more stuff that he did. He said he maintains his innocence and denies any wrongdoing, but they figured that this officer had bullied an older couple in Pine, Arizona, lied on his application, discussed an active internal investigation with another detective, and even accused a deputy of running an illegal business without cause. This guy is a former police chief and private investigator. Let's see. Well, that's enough then. And it goes on to talk about the specifics of the things that he was accused of, and the worst of which was the complaint filed by a 72-year-old woman there in Pine who said that he had bullied her in front of other Gila County Sheriff's Office or Sheriff staff. At the same time, the original call, the woman thought a man, a former renter, was following her in violation of a court order. The woman pulled into the sheriff's office, saw his patrol car in the driveway. The woman thought he was stopping there to deter the... Well, that's not... I guess that's not relevant anyway. What matters is what they're doing with that deputy. And I think that's a good thing. So... Let me try to squeeze his mail. Oh, this one, unbelievable. And no place, I wouldn't expect this to happen anywhere, but in where the ragheads are over there. There is a Saudi sheik. This is a real story. There's, you know what, I'm going to save that as my last one. I'm not even going to tell you right now. I got to save that for the last one. I'll tell you why in a minute. So, here is another one. This one out of Tampa. Another officer fired. Fired, I say. Awesome. St. Petersburg, Florida. Fired this week after a review board said he used excessive force during a DUI trial. So he tried to hide the dash cam video. I've always wondered about that, these dash cams. If they don't want people to know what they're doing, why do they do it in front of the dash cam? And since they did, why aren't they smart enough to do something with it? Maybe they don't have access to it. I don't know. But he says he tried to hide it, hide the video of the rest. It took place in January of this year. Found a man sleeping in a run-in car. And they woke him up, suspected he was intoxicated, and called the DUI unit. The guy arrived, positioned his car so the dash cam would record his investigation, so he knew it was running, and did parked it there on purpose. And they said the guy was uncooperative and argumentative, and showed him losing his temper. And said, the guy asked for a supervisor. The drunk asked for a supervisor. That's when the cop lost his temper and said, "I am my supervisor." And then he used profanity, flung his clipboard away, threw the man to the ground, and shows what appeared to be the guy using a stun gun on the man while he was on the ground. But anyway, good enough. He got fired, so I'm all for that. So, let's see here. Let me keep working my way down the list here. I don't think we need this. This is another one about a damn big old rattlesnake. Man, oh, that was in 2008. That was a world record rattlesnake. I was looking that up to dispute something that somebody had said somewhere on Facebook or something. I found what I needed, and now we're getting rid of it. Okay. Let me see. We got a little update here on the. I guess those riots over in Ferguson have lasted too. There's been gunshots and used tear gas, and has lasted a couple of days, and they're really trying to make a deal out of this. But I was going to talk earlier about that show Jericho. If you have not seen Jericho, I know. It's a fiction show. I get it. I understand all that. But the context or the pretense, I guess. Well, anyway, the scenario of the whole movie is such that while it may not be entirely factual as to what may happen in the future, since we don't know what's going to happen in the future, I think that there's enough stuff in there that enough food for thought, enough things that be close enough to what may happen to make people think. No, Mountain Shooter, actually, it's not from the 80s. It's from 2006 is when Jericho come out. And it's whether it's from the 80s or 2006, either one, it's almost prophetic in some ways of the way that things are happening. Now, one of the things that I hadn't really thought of, we always talk about the poop hitting the fan and how bad it's going to be and how long it's going to last. And a lot of the stuff that I've thought of and said over the years was brought up in this show. But one of the things that I hadn't thought of, I always thought that when we talk about the Constitution being restored and the government being restored and all this stuff, but that's as much, at least for me, that's about all I've given thought to. And what happened in there, in this show, is that a company that was, well, it was similar, it could be compared to Blackwater, although Blackwater doesn't have nearly the power that this does in this show. But this guy had this company that was similar to Blackwater. They called it Ravenwood, I think is what it was. And they pretty much, after these nuclear blasts, the country was fairly well divided, east and west. And the headquarters for the Western bunch was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the other thing was in Texas. Now, at one point, they were trying to get Texas to join up with Cheyenne, and if they would have, then that would have been a disastrous combination there. But at any rate, they... how is that, with the government being restored, when they had really nothing to fall back on, they had a lot of the people like you and I that were trying to maintain the Constitution and all of that. But they had convinced a lot of these other people that they're going to do a wonderful thing. There's going to be a constitutional convention. We're going to change a few things. And one of the things that they mentioned in the episode that we just watched today is getting rid of the Second Amendment. They said, yeah, people would be a lot more obedient, a lot easier to get to control if they didn't have guns, a lot easier to talk to. I don't remember what the term was that they used. If they didn't have guns. And hang on just a second here. Good girl. Good night, sweetie. Love you too. And anyway, I don't want to tell you the whole deal here, but I would seriously recommend that you make an attempt to watch this. I told you this a week or so ago, and I think that the ideas that you can get through this show are well worth the time to watch it. It's in some regards, it's like 24. You get into it and it gets exciting. You want to watch another one and another one. You can get it on Netflix if you have Netflix, and I'm sure that there's the places that Hastings or somewhere has you can go and rent the whole series. But you sit down and watch it, and you can't hardly get up from it. It's very interesting stuff, and I think it very much goes right hand in hand with everything that we talk about here on Just Measures Radio, and all of you guys that are preparing for different things. There was a lot of instances in there throughout the show of poor preparedness, poor planning, and there was other ones there that where they were taking people's goods, and they said, okay, this is for the good of the whole community. You've got to give it up. And so, anyway, we'll let that go with that. There's so many things there I'd like to get into, but I wouldn't do it in order. I'd think of, and that's right, Hopper, it was, I think it ended so quick because it's so good, and because in my mind, it's pretty accurate, or it could be. It gives people ideas. And there towards the, it's the second season and about the fifth or sixth episode in the second season, where there's a whole lot of talk and a whole lot of planning, a whole lot of thought goes into a revolt, where the guy in charge of the military for the Cheyenne side has realized and seen the corruption. And this guy was pretty squared away, but he was being led into the trap like everybody else. And once he realized all the corruption and everything, he said, well, I've sent a letter to him. I told him I can't do this anymore. And long story short, a bunch of his men went with him. Now I'm waiting to see what kind of revolution they're going to have here. That, Hopper, that's exactly right. I think it's too close. I think that they, I don't think that they realized how the ramifications that could come from people looking at this, and you get, a million people, or 10 million, 20, 30 million people watching this show and thinking about it and thinking about what's going on right now. Boy, that hits a little close to home. And I think that's exactly right. I think that's just exactly what you're... that's what Queso just put in there, didn't it? Because it hit way close to home. That's exactly right. So anyway, if you guys haven't seen it, please try to make an attempt to watch it. Now, it ain't going to do any good to watch the first four or five episodes. You need to try to commit to putting some time aside and watch this the whole thing. All right, let's go over in our last few minutes here. Let's go over a few things. We hear all the time people... say, well, they've gotten rid of, you can't say the pledge at school, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Well, that's not entirely true. Matter of fact, I'm going to try one thing here just for the heck of it and see. There may be an updated version of this, but if there's not, we'll go along with this one because it's okay. Hang on just a minute here. There's people all the time saying that they, since they took the pledge out of the school and everything, that, everything was going to hell in a handbasket. So this goes back to 2007. I've seen if there was an updated version of this. But I guess that means that these laws maybe haven't been changed since 2007. And obviously we can't go through every single state, but I'm going to hit a few of the states here that I know are, we have listeners from, which according to the map, we have listeners from every state, but we'll hit the ones that hang out in the chat room here. And these are just a quick overview of the laws concerning saying the pledge at schools. In Alabama, said the State Board of Education shall afford all students attending public kindergarten, primary, and secondary schools the opportunity each school day to voluntarily recite the pledge. It says at this time an amendment is pending. The amendment would require the daily recitation of the pledge in all schools. Neither students who are foreign students nor students who submit written requests for exemption are required to say it. Okay. Alaska, I think, is great. Alaska requires the pledge to be recited regularly in all public schools. However, both students and teachers have the right not to participate in the pledge, and each school district must inform its students of that right. That's the way it should be. You know, according to the First Amendment, we can't make you say it, and we would be wrong if we did, even tried. But to say, tell the school, yes, you will get up and recite the pledge, and those that don't want to don't have to, but we're going to do it anyway, regardless. I was a little disappointed in Arizona, and I know this one is still current. Arizona requires each public school to set aside time each day so that students who wish to recite the pledge can. Well, that's better than nothing. I still think Alaska is better. Let's go down through here and look at a few other ones. Georgia, the state requires that every public school student be afforded the opportunity to recite the pledge. In Hawaii, there's no statute anywhere that says anything. Same with Iowa, unfortunately. Same with Maine. Same with Nebraska. Oregon. Puerto Rico. Vermont, believe it or not. Virgin Islands and Wyoming have no statute concerning the Pledge of Allegiance. Idaho says every public school is to begin its day with either the pledge or the national anthem. No pupil shall be compelled against their objections or those of the pupil's parent or guardian to recite the pledge or sing the anthem. Let's go down through here. I'm going to skip a bunch of them. New Mexico. Yeah, New Mexico's got it pretty well figured out. Local school boards shall provide that the Pledge of Allegiance shall be recited daily in each public school in the school district according to regulations adopted by the state board. Neither the statute nor the administrative regulations based on it provide an opt-out for students who do not wish to recite the pledge, but the matter does not seem to have been litigated. So they don't even have an opt-out. You just get up and say it. That's where... that's where when I went to school when I was young, we didn't... of course, nobody was looking for a choice. I mean, everybody just said, well, yeah, that's what we do because we're Americans and this is America. And nobody had a problem with it. Nobody mentioned anything about it. And now you get one crybaby to say something about it, and all of a sudden there's a big stink about it. There's 9,700,000 million people want to do it and don't mind it, and one little punk wants to argue about it and causes all this trouble. It's like the we talked about that the other day, the cross that stands in front of the earth where the Twin Towers was. Okay. All right, looks like Ranger took my advice. You will not be sorry, my friend. It's not only a great, exciting, very interesting show, but I think you'll find that it will it'll plant some ideas and some seeds and really get you to thinking about where you're at in your preparedness plans and everything there. I sure, and we're trying to set more time aside and sit down and watch some more of it. Okay, Hopper, you gotta fill me in here. You're a bit torn on what, in light of the most recent trends in our country's direction. On the pledge, you mean? I see. Remember, and a lot of people, and I respect this. A lot of people won't, you know, pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth. And I think they've carried the whole idea of it just too far. We've had pledge allegiance to the flag, and I think that means that we're we're pledging allegiance to the country, which the flag stands for. I don't think we're pledging to a piece of cloth. But, you know, those that think that, that's certainly okay. You know? But I think if we, in my opinion, if and I understand what you're saying, Hopper, if it's the way the country's going and everything, but that's, so how do we make it any better by not saying the pledge or by not, the country is still the same. The Constitution is still the same. The flag is still the same. My attitude towards all this is still the same. And, you know, I would say the pledge if I was at the risk of death. I am that adamant about it. I understand what you're saying, but I think that's kind of, in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in my mind, that's kind of like saying, okay, not to say that I haven't done it, you know, myself, but, and to the Republic for which it stands, there you go, about, let's say, leaving the Republican Party because you don't like where it's going. Well, the more people that leave, the worse it gets. And the same is going to happen with the country. What does the Republic stand for? The Republic stands for the same thing it did in 1775. Nothing has changed. If we allow it to change by abandoning it, the system and that has changed, that's right, BB Burner. But as long as the Constitution is there and in place and has not been officially changed, you know, I think even if it officially changes, there'll be a lot of us that will have a hard time abiding by a new Constitution if we didn't agree with some of the things that it said. So in my mind, our republic is as good as it ever was. The people that are running it are not. But the people itself have the republic is still holding together officially, although we have a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of things that are trying to drag it down. But as long as there are people like you and I and BB Burner and Minnie and Ranger and Queso, as long as these people still exist, that republic is everything that it ever was from the very beginning. And that's not going to change. They're going to try to change it. This is what, and this is very much what where Jericho was going, where that movie was going. As people started seeing what was happening, they said, "Oh yeah, well these people are bringing us jobs. They're bringing us back. They brought us electricity. They've brought everything back, and they're on our side, and they're here to help us." And then they got to looking at it and said, "No." If they keep going the way they're going, the United States will cease to exist. It will forevermore be dead and gone and unrecoverable. Well, friends, I want you to know, as long as I'm able to move, able to shoot, able to talk on this radio, the Republic is alive and well. And I will pledge allegiance to that flag, and I will pledge allegiance to that republic, because my allegiance, regardless of what, how corrupt and sorry and crappy things get, the Republic and the Constitution are unwaverable. And my allegiance to them is unwaverable. Or unwavering, I guess. So, you can take that for what it's worth. We'll see what happens. Hopefully Amy will be with me tomorrow night. Don't forget our hunting rifle class coming up at Schatz Ranch this coming weekend. And don't forget to look at your preparedness, your preparations, and see if you're up to snuff. If you're not, folks, I think we have precious little time to get it that way. So thanks for joining me tonight. We had good sound. Everything worked well tonight, and I appreciate you all hanging in there with me. And we'll see you tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, at 8 o'clock Pacific time for the Shooting Bench.
So I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day.
Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for the Shooting Bench right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's pray.